Whoops, there we go. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to City Hall for tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, and I kindly ask our City Clerk, Mr. Landberg, to take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Donald Cummings. Ralph Dantino.
Ralph Dantino here.
Dorothy Flanagan. Sam Hill.
Here.
Dean Kilberg.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
Just for everyone's benefit, Alderman Dantino is joining us by phone this evening, which is permitted under Illinois statute. Alderman Flanagan, sadly, is tending to some family tragedies, quite frankly, and our thoughts and prayers are with her during this time. We begin our council meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm scanning the audience to see who is suitable. Well, you're all suitable, for God's sake, except for the press.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, relax, for God's sake. I'm thinking perhaps this handsome devil in the front row. Like, second row. You're always there, Bruno. Mr. Mike Bruno, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice
for all. Thanks, Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, you may have noticed on your way into City Hall this evening that the City of Geneva flag on the east lawn of City Hall and also the city flags at our fire stations are flying at half staff. They are flying at half staff in honor of our friend and former alderman, a 25-year veteran of the fire department, a member of the Lions Club, and an all-around good guy and strong advocate for the City of Geneva, Mr. Jack Ryan, passed away on the 30th of November. I just had the pleasure of visiting with his wife, Martha, his kids, her kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. And if those of you who have never been to a wake where a firefighter is laid to rest, it is a pretty impressive ceremony. Fire departments from not only Geneva, but St. Charles, South Elgin, Elburn, and throughout the metropolitan area were present to give Jack the appropriate send-off. They file forward three by three. They salute the casket where Jack is laying, and then they march on. So it's a very emotional and very powerful thing to witness. So I did promise the family that we would begin tonight's meeting with a moment of silence to honor Jack, and I would kindly ask that we all bow our heads to let his family know that we're thinking about them and that we honor and miss Jack very much. Thank you. I think it goes without saying that our thoughts and our prayers are also with Dorothy Flanagan and her family this week. Oh, we've got a full house. Where's Otepka? Did you survive the run?
Barely.
Unbelievable. Item 3A, consider the mayor's appointment of Executive Assistant Gene Fernari as deputy clerk for the period of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, December 26, 2012, for the purpose of receiving candidate petitions for the April 2013 consolidated elections.
Move approval.
Second. Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. Any questions or comments as to why this is being done? The state of Illinois has ultimately understood that we need to extend the petition filing, and therefore we need to have someone present, and Gene will be present. A roll call vote, I believe, is in order. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Item 3B is the presentation of Geneva Mental Health Board Annual Report and the Fiscal Year 2012-2013 Funding Distributions. My good friend Chairman Ford makes his way to the podium. How are you, John?
Mayor Burns, I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Council, thank you for allowing the agencies that are here tonight to present their mission statements to you. It's a time of shifting funding and often reducing funding for all of them. So it becomes more and more important for local funding to be available and understood. The board in their November meeting distributed $139,000 to these 17 agencies, which is the same amount that we distributed last year. And we also, as we have since early in the days 25 years ago, put aside 10% to a reserve capital fund. And the last time we did that, it took 20 years of saving to come up with a viable project, which is the house on Third Street or on South Street. And we're looking at ways to have a similar impact on a much shorter time frame with the monies we've collected. Right now we have about $118,000 in the capital fund. The agencies will have a few minutes to tell you about their missions and their plans, and feel free to ask them questions. Do you have any questions now before we start? The first agency is Ecker Center for a grant of $29,600.
Good evening. In this last year, the Ecker Center served 60 Geneva residents with these services: 24-hour crisis intervention, 24-hour crisis residential treatment, psychiatry, nursing, case management, therapy, rehabilitation services, and several residential options. In this last year, we also added at our Elgin facility primary health care for our clients provided by VNA Healthcare and a pharmacy provided by Genoa Healthcare. We are very, very grateful for the funding you have given us this year, and grateful too for the fact that you fund so many of the other organizations that provide services to your residents. We all try to work together and help each other, and we certainly consider you one of our very best partners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I just said thank you. Sorry about that.
I think
I scared the devil out of
you. You were supposed to identify yourself, so the record can clearly show.
Oh, yeah, shucks.
Yes, I did forget.
And you're
that.
A familiar face, too. We just all know you. But, you know, there are people watching from around the world. That's true. No. This is broadcast live on the web and throughout Geneva and, is it St. Charles?
Okay.
So it's amazing how many people watch. In fact, poor Bruno can't even go down the street without people knowing who he is because he sits in the same seat every week.
I am Karen Beyer from the Ecker Center for Mental Health.
Thank you, Karen. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. Alderman Kilberg might have a comment or question for you. Sorry about that.
Karen, thank you, and I know the Ecker Center does a lot of great work. I guess I'd just sort of be interested tonight, and I think the public would have an interest tonight to know what your operating budgets are, and if other speakers would be interested in sharing that. I think it's important for the public to know the number of dollars that we're putting back into the community, that your organizations are putting back into the community in support of the various worthwhile services that you provide. So,
well, our overall budget is just under $5 million, and that has shrunk like most organizations who have state funding.
Okay, thank you.
The next agency is the Rents Addiction Counseling Center for a grant of $7,000.
Good evening. My name is Deb Howe. I'm filling in for Jerry Scogmo, who's our executive director of the Rents Addiction Counseling Center. And our budget is about $2.5 million. And with that, we provide prevention and treatment for substance abuse, gambling, and HIV prevention education. At our St. Charles office, we provide outpatient treatment for substance abuse and gambling. And on behalf of all of our clients who are struggling to maintain their sobriety and working on it every day, we thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Vicki Davidson-Bell, a member of the Geneva Mental Health Board. I'd like to present a check to Tri-City Health Partnership, $2,300. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Shannon Watson. I'm the Executive Director of Tri-City Health Partnership. And I just want to say I watched It's a Wonderful Life the other night. And truthfully, as I was watching it, I thought to myself, the same practices that go on in that movie about helping your fellow man and taking care of your community and all those kind of things, that is the reason that this community has so many service agencies. It's the same reason that there's been a free medical clinic in this community serving Geneva residents for 11 years. And we have done that, given you a lot of bang for the buck. For every dollar that is donated, we provide $5 to $8 in medical services. And we're able to do that because of good folks like you who fund us, all the communities, the 708 boards and so, and because of the many volunteers, many from Geneva, and mostly medical professionals who donate their time. And they show up, take care of patients. So it's an honor to do it. It's a privilege. And on behalf of our board and staff, we thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. I'd like to present a check to Tri-City Family Services for $27,600.
Now, before you begin, sir, I want to know what your time was in the 5K race.
Is this going to be in the public record?
Unless you haven't finished yet.
It's all about transparency.
It's all.
It was 34.
That's awesome.
I was passed up by some folks with strollers.
And nobody was pushing them, right?
Right. Well, good evening, and thank you for inviting me for this return visit, and thank you, Mayor Burns, for starting the race, and I also want to thank the residents of Mill Creek for putting up with our onslaught for our fourth year, and it was a big success. I do want to take a minute to acknowledge the efforts of the 708 Board. They do a great job investing time and energy in the allocation process, and I want to assure you they're great stewards of the mental health tax dollars. Tri-City Family Services is known, quite understandably by most, as a counseling agency that provides family-centered counseling and therapy on a sliding fee scale basis to residents of the Tri-City area and to five townships to our west and to our south. Annually, just over 3,000 individuals come through our doors. Between 60 and 20% of those each year are residents of the city of Geneva. We serve all ages and deal with issues that span the life cycle, from postpartum depression and anxiety to marital conflict to a wide range of child and adolescent-focused issues, including acting out behaviors in school and in the community, peer-sibling conflict, self-destructive behaviors, to problems related to aging, loss, and challenges of grandparents raising grandchildren. About 80% of our clients seek help with three or more identified problems, and many of our families have been impacted by histories of substance abuse and domestic violence. 708 funding enables our agency to continue to provide services to those who have been at the core of our service population since 1967. The growing number of financially stressed, uninsured, or underinsured individuals and families, sometimes referred to as the working poor. Keep in mind that your dollars also enable us to ensure that we can continue to provide an array of prevention and early intervention services, support, educational, experiential programs throughout the year. Some of the examples would be our single mom support group, grandparents raising grandchildren, anger management programs for kids ages 5 through adult. Our divorce support workshop, our expanding services to adolescent girls, which we're very excited about. Of course, our Wilderness Challenge program, which I'm happy to say reached an all-time high in terms of services to Geneva teens this year. We had 10 teens from Geneva join us on this year's trip. Your funding also enabled us to do the important work of networking in the community and collaborating with key partners. Over the past year, we had a good response from school personnel, guidance counselors, social workers, to three roundtables we sponsored in the areas of school avoidance, parenting education, and response to intervention strategies. Looking down the road, our priority, as always, is that of finding ways to address the bane of our existence. We call it our wait list, by increasing our staffing capacity. For most of us, waiting lists are a way of life, but they are a terrible reality to live with as they clash with the other reality of our clients, and that is they wait much too long to call for service, so when they call, their need is desperate. In the short term, we're excited about the opportunity to partner with the Geneva Coalition for Youth, the school district, and actually a DuPage-based organization called Helping Girls Navigate Adolescence. On February 9th, we'll be offering a program called Chick Chat. It's an enrichment program for fourth and fifth grade kids. Programs they run in DuPage County have attracted 200 to 300 girls for the all-day workshop. And again, that will occur on the 9th of February. Further down the road, we're excited about completing a feasibility study that we hope will lead to the launching of an outpatient, family-based, family-centered treatment program for eating disorders. It's one of the bigger projects we've undertaken in a long time, but we think that this program can give families an affordable alternative to inpatient programming for eating disorders and engage families in the treatment of that terrible problem, which really is the highest mortality rate of all major mental illnesses. So those are our priorities. As we look down the road, in closing, I'd have to say that after a pretty tough three-year stretch, I think all my colleagues would agree, there seems to be a renewed sense of energy and hope at the agency. A lot of hard work yet ahead, but with your continuing support and helping us move beyond our day-to-day survival mode, you can enable us to embrace that opportunity to do more for the mental health needs of Geneva. So we thank you very much for your support, and happy holidays.
Thank you very much.
I'll get Jim Otepka, Tri-City Family Services, and our annual budget is about $1.4
$1.4? $1.4. And an extraordinary runner, to say the least.
I'd like to present a check to Lazarus House for $8,700.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Liz Eakins, and I am the executive director of Lazarus House in St. Charles. We are a homeless shelter, transitional living program, and outreach program that serves the Tri-Cities, St. Charles, Geneva, Batavia, and what we consider western rural Kane County. Our mission is to provide hospitality and care and shelter and services to those that are homeless in our area or those that are at risk of homelessness. This past year, well, I'll tell you our budget, first of all, before I forget, about $1.3 million. And the grant that we had applied for was to represent about 10% of the cost of services for Geneva residents throughout all of our programs. We just find it a great honor to be able to be ready to accept through our doors those that are losing their homes due to a vast array of reasons. I will tell you that a trend that we're seeing just in the last few months or so, not to say that this population hasn't been around before, but we're seeing a major increase in the number of young adults that we're serving. You know, this would be 18 to about 24, 26-year-olds. These are folks that are suffering from, in many cases, some significant mental illness or perhaps combined with substance abuse concerns. We're just very grateful for all of our partners that are sitting behind me in these chairs that allow us to be more than just a place for people to come and sleep and wonder what they're going to do the next day. We are able to offer through case management the ability for folks to start rebuilding their lives. And again, without everybody behind me, that wouldn't be happening. But I also want to thank you, Mayor Burns, and the City Council for your commitment to these dollars through the 708 Forum and to the volunteers around the 708 Board. You know, I know, in especially this past 4 years or so, everybody struggles to try and figure out how budgets are going to balance. And we want you to know how grateful we are that you have made this commitment. In closing, I'll tell you a little bit about a lady that came to us about a year and a half ago. She's a middle-aged woman. She has kids that are in Geneva schools, but she has a really hard time being an effective parent. And she at times would live with relatives. Other relatives have taken her kids in, and they're in a good, stable environment. But she was living, you know, in people's backyards, et cetera. But we've been able to house her now for the last several months. And previously, she had not been diagnosed with a mental illness that we now know that she has. And she's under a great doctor's care through ACRA Center, receiving the proper meds that she needs. And she's struggling hard to hang on to, but working really hard at maintaining a full-time job. And so our dream for her, and I think her dream for herself, is that she can respectfully do what she needs to do to take care of herself moving forward. And I know the hardest part for her is that her kids are really embarrassed by who she is. And we hope that that turns around. And I think with the support that you've given, that that's going to happen. So thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to present a check to Living Well Cancer Center, Cancer Resource Center, for $875.
Okay. Hello, I'm Candace Goldstein, and this is my fourth year on the Mental Health Board. I have a check for $30,500 for the Association for Individual Development.
Thank you very much.
I'm Lynn O'Shea, and I am the president and CEO of the Association for Individual Development. We started 51 years ago as a special education school for youngsters who weren't eligible for public school services back then. There was no such thing as special ed. Over the past 51 years, our services have grown to include job training, group homes and housing, mental health care, respite care, early intervention, primarily for individuals who have developmental disabilities and mental health issues, many that start in their younger years. I'm pleased to report that this past year, we served 57 Geneva residents and have three in the wings for whom we're trying to get housing set up for now. However, the bad news is we have 76 on the waiting list, and that is the issue that we are trying to address right now. In fact, I'm going to pass out some cards here. Resources continue to decline in spite of the wonderful support that we get from Geneva. And the city has been wonderful and actually helped us get housing for a group of young men from Geneva who needed it. But the number who need it continue to grow. We cannot keep up with the pace of need as compared to the resources available to provide support for people with developmental disabilities here in Kane County and particularly here in Geneva. So after much thought, our board made the decision that we are going to pursue a referendum and see if we can get the support of county residents to do something about this and try and solve at least a portion of the waiting list problem. We have people that have been waiting over 10 years. Where in this country does anyone wait 10 years for something? So we think we have to find a solution. Right now we're launching a petition drive. If we can get 20,000 signatures by the end of the calendar year, we will have a question on the April ballot that will ask Kane County residents, homeowners, if they're willing to support a 0.1% assessed valuation tax, real estate tax, would average about $54 a year a household, to support more group homes and housing for individuals with developmental disabilities. We currently have about 8,000 signatures. I have a petition here. If you're willing to sign, please see me afterwards. We need everyone's help to solve this problem. It's a serious problem, and we don't know how else we're going to solve it. So with your help and support, we'll try to advance that. thank you so very much for everything you do for the residents of Geneva, and we deeply appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Mrs. O'Shea, can you provide the annual operating budget of AID?
Yes, I can. The annual operating budget for AID is about $20 million, and our services for Geneva came to $607,000 last year, so about 5% of our funds, your funds, support the total cost for Geneva residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Yes, good to see you. Thank you.
And I have a check for $2,500 for Fox Valley Special Recreation Association.
Yeah, you guys know each other, right? You're both wearing red.
Thank you very much.
Hi.
Good evening. Carolyn Nagel, Executive Director with the Fox Valley Special Recreation Association. Thank you, Council Members and Mayor Byrne. Good to see you again.
See you.
Our host of our event a couple of weeks ago, which was very successful, so thank you for your involvement. Okay. And Geneva was our host community as well. Our agency is an extension of 7-member park districts and recreation departments serving children and adults with disabilities and recreation environment. And our mission is to enrich the lives of the people that we serve with disabilities through collaborations with our member agencies, as well as the community partners. And many of those partners are sitting behind me, as you heard earlier from one of our other presenters. The children that we serve and the money that is funded through the Mental Health Board helps us to identify what the particular needs and challenges are that the individual has, and to make the recommendation for the best type of placement for the child, as well as to assist them with the inclusion opportunities that are as a growing service of our agency. The children are enrolling in the regular park district program, and they're being assisted by a companion, which is paid for by the park districts out of the ADA requirement. But the training of the individuals to provide those services is being done by our staff. And to better identify what their needs are, to make the observations and the recommended services, and many times interventions, we are seeing a lot more challenging disabilities being presenting themselves during the program, such as bipolar and many of the other challenges that are a little bit more difficult to address on a day-to-day basis, while still making that inclusion situation successful for all the children involved. We have an operating budget of about $2.5 million, which is supported through our member agencies, fundraising, and member agency fees. And again, on behalf of our board and directors and staff and our clients, we thank you very much for the support of the 708 Mental Health Board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
I have a check for $900 for Haley's Playground. And a check for $6,400 for suicide prevention services.
I'm Barbara Stidwell. I'm Vice President of the Board of Directors of SPS of America, and I'm standing in for Stephanie Weber, who's our Executive Director. She called me today and asked if I could do this, and I was very pleased to be able to come and speak with you and thank you in person, and also to tell you that every dollar of support for SPS goes into direct services to prevent and intervene during suicidal attempts or prevent the suicide itself. Our operating budget is around $360,000 a year. It's very small, but we are one of only 7 such organizations in the country that is entirely dedicated to the prevention of suicide. That word itself is still a taboo. It's a conversation stopper, and we work to break the silence and to educate and advocate in order to help people know where the resources are and to provide services either before the crisis, during the crisis, or after the crisis. We provide prevention services through advocacy and training. We provide intervention services through clinical counseling and our depression hotline, which took over 40% of the calls last year that came in to the National Suicide Awareness Hotline, National Suicide Prevention Hotline. It's 1-800-SUICIDE. What they do with that hotline is that anyone can call from anywhere in the United States, and the person who answers the call will ask you where you're calling from, and they will then patch your call through to the organization that is part of the network that is closest to where this person is, so that they may be able to put this person in touch with some real services close to home. And we took over 40% of the calls that came in from Illinois residents last year, because there is no such organization in Chicago, in fact. So in northern Illinois, we're blessed in the Fox Valley to have this organization that is so unique and so focused on this particular absolute crisis and tragedy. As a survivor of suicide, that is what we call a person who's left behind. I am a board member because I want to keep other families from experiencing this. It is one of the most devastating, if not the most devastating type of death that can happen, because you're dealing with such a mix of emotions, and you're dealing with what is essentially, death. You might consider it a murder, but the person who died is also the victim. And so it's very, very complex. Our crisis line volunteers, they are volunteers, receive over 60 hours of training from us. We provide support services for people who are left behind with our survivors of suicide support groups. And frankly, our executive director and other members of our staff have been called upon to travel to other states to provide education and training. We have one of the first support groups for people who have attempted suicide. And so we are being called upon to train other people in other states and try to replicate our organization there. And that's why we've changed the name to Suicide Prevention Services of America. We thank you very much for your continued support. We're saving lives every week, and it's because of support from places like the 708 Board and the Geneva City Council. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Lisa Schadel. I am the newest member of the Mental Health Board, but I've been on the board for 3 years now. So if you're out there watching around the world, apparently, but if you're in Geneva,
yeah, I'm telling you,
we have a couple of openings, and I would love not to be the newest member next year. My first check is for CASA King County for $1,500.
Hello, I'm Vicki Shaw from CASA King County. I'm the manager of annual giving there, and I want to thank you very much for this check. We really appreciate the funding that you've given us. CASA King County, I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but it stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. We recruit, train, and case manage community volunteers who advocate for children who have been abused and neglected that are in the juvenile court system. So it's really important, because oftentimes the CASA volunteer is the only consistent adult in the child's life, and it's a time of, you know, they're vulnerable, they don't know what's going on, so this CASA volunteer will help them through the way, you know, all the different people, all the different court dates and families and foster care and all the crazy things that happen. So it's really significant to their mental health, and we really appreciate it. Our operating budget is just under $1 million, and we must raise all of that from community support, from private donations and grants. We don't receive any state or government funding. So, again, this funding is really important to us. So thank you very much.
Thank you. How's the project coming along, Vicki, behind the courthouse?
The garden.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if any of you have seen the garden. We built this garden. It's actually behind the courthouse to raise money for our endowment program. And if I can put a little plug in, we received a challenge grant from the Dunham Fund, where they'll match 40 cents on every dollar that is raised, and it ends at the end of this year. So we'll be doing a big campaign to try to meet that challenge. So you'll probably be seeing some information on it. So anything you can do to help, we'd really appreciate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Say hi to Gloria.
The next check I have is for Fox Valley Volunteer Hospice for $2,900. I also have a check for Elder Day Center for $3,600.
evening. I'm Tracy Eggleston. I'm the executive director of Elder Day Center in Batavia, and our operating budget is just is about $380,000. It's always a challenge for me to get up here after I've heard so many people, and I want to say something new, and I want to say something really inspiring, but I just have to say I'm blessed to be in this community, in a community that really believes in its residents, that looks out for its well-being, and not only that, that we don't cast our seniors aside. The one very few things that we do have in common with everybody in this world is each day we're all getting older, and there are one of the blessings that I get to do every day is to come into work and to spend my time with older adults who have shaped our community, and unfortunately, they may have a form of dementia and other mental illness that leaves them at a place that they're no longer able to be safe at their homes, but they may not be ready for nursing home placement, or their families may not be able to afford it, or they may just need a break, and so we can provide a place for their caregivers to come and bring them and have some therapeutic activities for their loved ones, and you know, everything that we do is chosen with a purpose, and we have a lot of fun, but there's fun, it's fun with a reason. And not only with that, we also are the caregiver support designee for everyone in King County who takes care of an older adult, 60 or over, whether or not they're involved with our adult day program. And last year we kept one very busy social worker just at our wit's end taking care of almost 400 individuals in King County, many of those from the city of Geneva. I believe that the 44 were from Geneva last year. We run four different support groups, training and education, and individual counseling, all free of charge to residents. So that keeps our caregivers sane. There's often feelings of depression, anxiety, and burden that can add to caregivers. So it can really be detrimental to their mental health as well. So we see our mission and purpose as twofold. In order to keep our seniors safe, we want to be there for our families too. And your generous allocation really does help make a difference. So thank you for caring for our community and for our seniors.
Thank you.
And then the last check is for Easter seals for $900.
Good evening. My name is Eric Johnson. I'm the Vice President of Development for Easter Seal of DuPage in the Fox Valley region. And on behalf of our board and staff, but most importantly the people we serve, I want to thank you for your continued support of our organization. If you can think back to the mid-40s, about 70 years ago when we were founded, that was a time when doctors and professionals were saying, take your loved one with a disability and put them in this home where they can live and be safe and go on with your life. And thank goodness we had a small group of volunteers. We had a family member who were committed that their loved one could live in the community with support. And they founded then what was called the Illinois Association for Crippled Children, DuPage chapter, and that was in 1942. We'll cut to this year, now we are now known as Easter Seal of DuPage in the Fox Valley region. I should say in their first year they served 15 people. Today, Fox Valley region, Easter Seal, we serve just over 3,200 children and young adults with a host of services, but the common denominators, they're all designed to provide the maximum amount of support and independence possible so that people can live and contribute to the life of their community. We believe we're here to make firsts happen. We want to help children take their first steps, to help children to say their first words, and provide a foundation so people can take their first class in an integrated classroom setting, so they can have their first home, so they can have their first job. And our end goal is to be so that we don't have to be here to help people achieve those firsts. I want to close really briefly by telling the story of a Geneva resident and how we've been able to be a part of his life. I'll call him David. He's a 16-year-old, and he came to us about 8 years ago with significant challenges to stay in school. David has muscular dystrophy. He has a feeding tube. He has a tracheal tube. He lives in a wheelchair. and requires 24/7 attention. But with speech therapy, occupational therapy, and physical therapy, we've been able to help David remain in school. He does have to be there with nursing care to keep his tracheal tube clean and to help him with breathing. David's one of the residents, one of the participants we help that may lose that nursing care because of upcoming Medicaid cuts. And I share that with you because it's support that you're providing us that will allow us to continue to serve David and how he needs our help. And I can't say how much we appreciate it. So again, on behalf of the Geneva residents we serve, thank you for your continued support. And have a good holiday.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Is there anybody here from National Association of Mental Illness? They have a grant of $1,400 or Day One Networking, and their grant was $2,900. Ralph Dantino is a member of our board. Ralph, thank you very much for your service.
You're welcome. I'm sorry about that. Very rewarding service, and I wish I could be there tonight, but Don, you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thanks, Ralph. One of the things I'm continually amazed at, every year I see it, but it seems to be more active, the amount of interaction among these various groups working with each other. None of them works alone. They work as a team. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any comments or questions from any member of the council or any members?
Just thanking them for all the support they give our residents. Really, you guys do a great job out there.
I'd like to thank our mental health board and the work that they do throughout the year to support this process and all the good work and the resources that are returned to the community and through the various organizations that we have here tonight. Thank you very much.
Mayor Burns, you might tell people how they can volunteer to be on any of the city boards and commissions.
Yeah, I know John and I have been in correspondence. I believe you may have received additional correspondence from Gene Fornari regarding a potential candidate, but anyone who's interested in serving on the Geneva Mental Health Board can simply fill out an application that's on our website at geneva.il.us, click on Boards and Commissions, and submit your credentials, if you will. And I, of course, always share those with Mr. Ford, the chairman, for his review and consideration. But I think as our newest member, Ms. Shadle, said, there's two vacancies now. So, and does the newest member have to bring all the food to the meetings? Is that why you want somebody? That would be helpful, yeah. You probably live the closest, though, so it's easy for you.
Actually, that application applies to all boards.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So, thank you again, everyone. Enjoy your Monday evening, whatever's left, huh? Enjoy the weather. Ladies and gentlemen, our next item on the agenda is item 3C. It is a staffing analysis project update by our good friends at Voorhees and Associates. We have Carl Nolenberger joining us this evening. Oh, we have a team. We have a duo.
Yes, I'm Carl Nolenberger with Voorhees Associates.
And I'm Bill Lichter. I wasn't with you when Voorhees made the presentation or Carl made the presentation, but I'm from the area and formerly the village manager of Lombard for 23 years.
For how many years?
23 years.
Good Lord. No, belated sympathies on the passing of Mr. Mueller. He was a heck of a guy.
Yes, he was.
He was really a neat guy.
Great loss.
We thought we'd give you a quick summary of the project to date and answer any questions. We have done interviews, over 50 interviews now, of city employees. Lee McCain, a former police chief, did the interviews in the police department. Former fire chief Norm Malcolm did the interviews in the fire department. And Jerry Schultz, an IT professional, did the interviews of information technology individuals. Bill Lichter did the interviews in the public works area. And I did the interviews in the other departments here in the city, the administrative and community development type departments. And we've completed all those interviews last week and today. So we've gone through the interview process at this time. And I've been putting together our major themes based upon those interviews. We are also currently conducting an employee survey. Last Friday, all employees of the city of Geneva received a employee questionnaire, and with the pre-stamped envelopes to mail those back to us. And I imagine we'll start receiving those probably in today's mail or in tomorrow's mail. And we'll do an analysis of the employee surveys questionnaire. We've almost completed a staffing analysis comparing the staffing here in Geneva to 14 comparable cities here in the area of similar size and makeup, and are comparing the staffing per 1,000 employees here in Geneva to the staffing average per 1,000 employees in those other 14 cities to see if there's anything that stands out in that particular area. We're currently in the process of working with the city staff to put together some performance measures to specifically measure the efficiency of certain activities. And we have data available from around the United States on cities of a similar size and nature that we can compare those performance measures against. We finished a financial trend monitoring to assess the quality of financial management here in the city, and we'll be writing that up and putting that together. And then we've reviewed all the documents, stacks of documents that we got from Mary, and everything from the comprehensive planning to strategic planning to budgets to policy manuals to personnel policy manuals and the rest to make sure that they're being appropriately put together to run the most efficient city government. We are anticipating all of that being compiled and put together in about 2 to 3 weeks for the first phase of this particular project. And then we will meet with the city administrator to determine exactly where we should go for the second phase of the project and the completion of the project. But we're anticipating being complete with the first phase before Christmas. So that's a brief overview for you of the overall project. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Carl. Questions or comments from the council? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Did you indicate that you've interviewed all of the staff members that you feel are essential for your survey to be completed? Are there any other interviews going to be taking place? I'm asking that in a sense because I'm wondering, did you interview any older people?
Yeah. Oh, we thought we would know that.
We did not have a request to interview any specific older persons, no.
You didn't feel that was necessary?
In terms of the scope of the project, I'll have City Administrator McKittrick comment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of the project is to look at employees that conduct essential job functions for the city and day-to-day operations. So that wouldn't include our elected officials. They are policymakers, not day-to-day operative employees of the city.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome.
Anyone else for these two fine gentlemen? Anyone from the audience?
Very good.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Welcome aboard, Bill.
Thank you.
Wow. Item 3D, electric rate presentation by none other than the superintendent of electric, Michael Buffington. Mr. Buffington, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Mayor. Always short and to the point, isn't it? I got to give him a shot.
You flip a switch and he says hello.
I'm Mike Buffington, Superintendent Electric for City of Geneva. Tonight what I'm going to do is go through a presentation. I'm going to look at a current rate study that was performed by NEPA. And then the rate study will also take a look at the current alternative supplier rates that are coming out. And I've given you some I have given you a handout, and in that handout it talks about the alternative rate prices for Chicago, who just recently went. I'm going to talk about the projected power costs and what is our strategy to hold those costs down. And then we're going to look at projected rates for the next 2 years and 5 years. And then I'm going to briefly touch on alternate energy suppliers. Again, this goes back to the Geneva Strategic Plan. It's to maintain cost of efficient delivery and city services. Under the leadership of Mary and Dan, your team has put together a power portfolio. And this power portfolio is only one section of the costs. And what I'd like to do is talk about those costs. First, we're going to talk about the comparison of the rates. We ran a rate study earlier this fall. And in the rate study, and I'm just going to look at residential, it's the same comparison. The different players move around, but we're always in the same spot, whether it's residential, commercial, or industrial rates. And if you look, in this particular rate study, our competitor is the alternate energy supplier. Otherwise, we're the lowest man.
They're known as customer choice?
And customer choice is right here, the green, and that is.
What is that?
Pardon me, I didn't hear you.
What is customer choice?
It's the alternate rate supplier.
Thank you.
And what it is basically ComEd and Ameren within the state of Illinois, the state has allowed for cities, individuals, counties, whatever the subdivision is, to go out and get rates, electric energy on their own. This energy many times does not include transmission or capacity or the sub-transmission rates. Based on what came through today, and I say today because what you have in your on your desk is old, City of Chicago is looking at energy rates of 5.3%. If you add on the sub-transmission rates, we're below them and all of our costs in energy. There are three other communities that have gone out already and have already secured costs. These energy rates are anywhere from 3 months to 2 years. To give you the broadest definition of the cost and what's applied to the rates and what we cover, 11% of the rates are data operations. That includes administrative, customer services, my group handling the outages and day-to-day operations. 9% of it's capital. And we talked about capital last time and how we trade off capital versus outages and how we determine that. The third item is debt service. And I'd like to say we're a team for doing your rates. It goes across all of our city to do the rates. Right now, financial service, what he's done is he's taken and restructured our debt service. And he saved us $100,000 a year, $1 million over the whole life of this debt service. And what that does is keeps our rates down. Of that pie, 73% of that is projected power costs. And this is our projected power costs between now, this year, and through 2016. And what I want to point out is energy costs, and I conclude the Prairie State as the energy cost because we buy it through NIPA and we have a purchase power contract. And so, in the truth, we own part of Prairie State, but we own it through NIPA. And if you'll see, our energy costs are holding steady or gradually growing, and I'm going to explain why. Our transmission costs are growing. That's just in nature. And the green, which is the capacity cost, is growing the most. And what I'm going to do is show you how we hedge these costs and how we cap them. For energy, we've capped our energy costs at Prairie State. Prairie State energy today is 1.8 cents per kWh. Time we get it up here through transmission, it's around 5.6 cents. And that includes a debt service for Prairie State. We've hedged our capacity, and I talked about our capacity growing. This year, capacity costs around $27 a megawatt day. In 3 years, they're $127 a megawatt day. And what we've done is we've hedged 69% of it. One hedge is the Prairie State. We've hedged that and GGF. And what we hedge those with is our tax-exempt financing. I'm going to talk about the projected rates. If we look at our projected rates today through 2016, the rates in the next 2 years we're going to hold steady. I can throw a caveat into that because we're just doing budgets today and we've not looked at our daily operations nor our capital costs and how they would affect rates. And then with that, we have to look at our cash balance. And our cash balance, you have told us to maintain $2 million cash balance, and we do keep an eye on that. But think about it. We've capped 73% of it in energy. We've capped another 9% in debt service. So we've done capped about 81% of our costs. I want to talk about market rates and alternative energy. Chicago went on alternative energy. I do not claim to be an expert at this, so if somebody comes up and say, I said this, I'm not an expert. I consider alternative energy market rates. When I did the first rate study, it looked like about 4.8 cents per kilowatt hour is what alternative energy was, and that's based on last March's cities that voted to go to our alternative energy suppliers. This year, the latest elections, the communities that are going right now are coming out at 5.3% or 5.3 cents a kilowatt hour. That's a 10% increase. Our rates are lower than or at the lowest level at anybody in Illinois today, and they will remain that way for the next 2 years. One of the things we do to hedge our prices is we have four major sources. The first one is Settlers Hill, or waste management energy. We just recently negotiated a contract, your team, for 3.1 cents a kilowatt hour. That's at or below market prices. That's for 2 years. We negotiated prices for another 26% of your energy on the open market, and that's sitting around 4.4 cents through 2016. It's not just one piece of the pie, it's the pie altogether. And the way the system works is markets changes and energy is dynamic, the markets. As they change, each one of these pieces come into play. If we look at gas prices, today we have really low gas prices, but as the country shifts to a gas-based energy system, there's competition. The price will go up. One of the things that occurs is during the winter, am I going to serve the communities with their heaters, or am I going to serve the electricity? Can an infrastructure handle the gas? Today it won't handle the gas. Under lots of construction, it can't handle the gas. But what we've done in your portfolio is to take each piece, different energy sources, cap different parts of it, and as the markets change, as the energy change, hold our prices constant. And that's our goal. Are there any questions?
Alderman Brown, Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. Mike, I'm sorry, I didn't, what the open market rate right now, 26% of it. How much is that again? Per kilowatt hour?
Okay, I gave you a couple prices here.
Okay, sorry.
A couple. 26% of it. We have contracts through 2016, and we're looking at about 4.4 cents per kilowatt hour. 10% of it is your Settlers Hill. We have it through 2014. That's at 3.1 cents per kilowatt hour.
Thank you. Sorry.
What is the life expectancy of the landfill as an energy source for the city? Do you see that for another 10 years potentially?
We're looking at another 10 years. There is decline going on, but with the recent redevelopment they've done out there due to some of the gas that they're flaring has creased. I have not been able to get a handhold on the exact decline recently because they just haven't been volunteering with the information. But
they have lost capacity, though, since the landfill closed, or production since the landfill closed.
Yes, they have. It's on a steady decline.
You think, though, that we could be a user for possibly another 10 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else on the dais? Alderman Singer?
Yeah, thank you. Michael, many of the coal power energy producers have begun to close their shops. Is that going to have an effect on our means of obtaining energy at a reasonable price?
If you look at our portfolio, we have probably 36% of our portfolio that we kind of tie to market prices. That's your landfill and your market. Those prices will fluctuate. They will go up as these plants close. As you bring new plants on, particularly the new gas plants on, the cost will go up. The cost for replacement will go up. That's your capacity cost. We hedge that price with 32 years worth of coal from Prairie State.
How was our peaker plant involved in this process?
Our peaker plant does two things, and we use it. It hedges it behind the meter. And if you remember, a few years ago, I came forward and we talked about behind the meter. Mm-hmm. That hedges the transmission and capacity costs. Gas prices are rather volatile. Right now, we have the luxury of cashing in those gas prices and generating more, but as the gas prices go up due to more demand within the nation or lack of infrastructure, and then we're only producing 2% of our energy costs. So it's not going to have that large an impact on our rates. It's the mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's not any one source. It's all the sources together. And if you remember, since GTF's gone on, I've come before you and given you a spreadsheet showing you each year market prices versus Geneva versus what we can buy it on the market. Until we had the crash, we were beating market prices. We're back in that saddle again. It's not looking at any one year for finances. It's looking over the broad spectrum and what's the economics of it all.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. And for the benefit of everyone listening or watching, GGF is the peaker plant. GGF stands for Geneva Generating Facility.
That is correct.
So,
and is it? This is Ralph Santino. I have a couple questions.
Yes, sir. Then Alderman Hill, then I think Kilberg. Yes, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Your floor is yours, Ralph.
I need somebody to.
The question is that we receive information in the mail that provides us opportunities to purchase energy from alternative sources. That is not possible in the city of Geneva, correct?
That is correct. And if you'd seen one of my examples in the second bar chart, it's no longer cost-effective in comparison to Geneva rates. We are below that now.
You're referring to customer's choice, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Aggregation and all that good stuff.
That's good that we're below that, and I'm glad our prices are cheap. But I know people all over the city, and they've asked me what they do with those, because I personally, I think I do that with gas supplier, which is Nicor, but I understand it's not possible with the electric. My second question is, I'm sometimes hesitant to bring this up, but NMPA is composed of Batavia, Rochelle, and Geneva, and Friends of Batavia have put their portion up for sale, or part of their stake in NMPA for sale. My question is that possible for them to sell that? And is that something that Geneva should think about doing, or are we doing okay there?
Mr. Dantino referenced the makeup of NMPA, Geneva, Batavia, and Rochelle, and he referenced specifically that Batavia has purchased excess power from Prairie State, and they are looking at perhaps selling that excess power. Will it be purchased? Secondly, is Geneva considering selling any of its power? Or purchase any of Batavia's power, excuse me.
Okay. First, Batavia did buy excessive power based on their projections. And no, Geneva is not looking at buying any of Batavia's power. We have our mix. We have a good mix.
Did you hear that response, Mr. Dantino?
My question is there a market for selling that, though? Could Batavia succeed in doing that?
I cannot answer that. They're on the market right now, and they're getting bids in as we talk. Probably won't know anything probably by February at the earliest.
They're on the market right now, Mr. Dantino, and hopefully they'll have word come February whether or not there's an interested buyer at the appropriate price they're seeking. Is that anything else, Alderman Dantino?
Oh, that's it for me.
Alderman Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Make sure I'm on. Yeah, it's on. Mike, I had the misfortune of playing golf in the line of some of the wind energy fans, and the wind on the golf course was worse than up there in the sky. But I understand that there is some availability of wind energy power. I'm not sure that it's available in this part of the country, but other than I think there are some of those fans out in Rochelle. Rochelle using any of that by any chance? And as it looks like sometime in the future, we might want to consider that.
To my knowledge, Rochelle is not using any wind power, and it went entirely up to the city council for us to consider any wind power for our portfolio.
If Rochelle's not using what they've got in their backyard, why worry about it, right? Thank you.
Just to amplify something Alderman Hill brought up, what is the current cost per kilowatt hour of wind? I know it's a tough question to answer. But
that's a really tough question because I'm not privy to those costs generally.
Is it a nickel plus on average? Is it 7 cents?
I want to say last time I looked at it and I was in front of the city council, before any tax credits or anything, it was going for 11 cents. After tax credits, it was down anywhere between 6 cents and 5.8 cents with a 2% increase per year. But that's been several years ago.
Thank you. Alderman Kilbury.
Mr. Buffington, you done an effective job of developing a strategy, obviously, for the city. The numbers, I think, speak well. I guess as a piece of information for those that would be in attendance tonight and that would be listening, could you explain a little bit, is this Mike Buffington's strategy or is this a collective strategy? How does this process evolve and how are these decisions reached in the city of Geneva?
We do it by a team. This strategy is based on strategies that have been used by other municipal systems within the state, without the state. It's based on a classic development of all different energy sources and different power sources. The idea is, as the markets move, and as I said, power markets are dynamic and they change all the time. If you own the assets, then you can react to them. If you don't own the assets, you just follow along. Did I answer your question?
You might go a little bit deeper as to what are some of the resources that come into play as we develop a strategy. I mean, obviously our staff, and then we go beyond just our staff, right?
We have two major consultants we use. That's the Indiana Municipal Power Agency. They do a lot of our day-to-day consulting. Part of this strategy was done in 1987 when you went for the landfill gas, which you've been using successful. Part of the strategy was developed in 2002 when this city council said, we will build Geneva Generation Facility. The rest of it's just putting it in the portfolio, making it work, and buying the appropriate amount of prairie state that makes it effective for this portfolio to hold the cost constant.
Very good. Thank you.
The important thing is that all these timescales are decades. Mm-hmm. So, yes, the team must work on it on a year-to-year basis, but one is working on the differences and the derivatives because things move slowly. The decision to go with Prairie State is a decade ago now, I believe.
Yeah, not quite. 05, I believe, was it? 05, 06? It was not a unanimous decision on the council's part, but, yeah, it was definitive. Anyone else? Any questions from the audience?
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Inject a comment here directed towards Alderman Hill.
Is it about golf?
I've had contact with people who are in the energy services, and a gentleman that happens to live in my ward. It's been very productive in being able to inform me of these issues. And his contention is, and I've also have read as well regarding wind power, it's not really what we had anticipated to be. It's not as efficient and it's effective, and it's much more costly than what one would might consider to be engaging in. It apparently has to do a lot with the mechanisms and the functions of the mills in itself and the continuous maintenance that has to be done to them. Extremely costly, and they aren't always as productive, they're just not that energy efficient, is what I've been told. So I don't know if that means anything to you, Alderman Hill, but I thought I would pass it on to you.
Thank you. I've read the same material. I agree it's not worthwhile at this point. I just wanted to bring it up that when you see about 1,000 windmills in one valley of the between mountains out in Southern California, mm-hmm. somebody's got to be getting something good. But unfortunately, we don't have the mountains to give us that opportunity to give us a good wind source, which is very thankful.
You're referring to the Palm Springs area?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
Anyone else? Comments or questions regarding anything? Mr. Hill's golf game? Or anything?
All right,
which is really a subject for closed session.
Are you waiting for your petition to be? Yeah, the young lady has a petition being circulated, folks, and can we continue that so she doesn't have to stand here the rest of the night? Thank you very much.
Believe it or not, folks, we're actually at item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening?
There is.
Alderman Maladra.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add to item 14 as part of our closed session that we had collective negotiating matters between the City of Geneva and its employees or representatives.
There's a motion by Maladra to amend the agenda accordingly. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. A roll call vote is in order. Any questions on the motion? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Aye. Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine by this City Council and can be enacted by one motion. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Singer makes the second. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
According to my notes, we jump down to item 9A, recommend acceptance. Correction.
Would that correct that? Right. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
The recommendation on the executive summary is to accept the strategic planning workshop report and the amended strategic plan for 2017.
With that friendly amendment in order, is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Alderman Maladra?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Singer, just beat out D'Antino. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item 9A passes. Item 10, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $1,013,218.79.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills. The individual invoices can be seen in the city packet on the city website. Packet for tonight's meeting.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion to pay the bills as considered and available on the city's website and in our packet this evening, seconded by Alderman Hill. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino.
Aye.
Motion passes. Committee of the Whole items of business. Item 11A is to recommend ordinance number 2012-46 for the Geneva 2012 tax levy in the amount of $4,616,851.
So moved.
Motion by Singer.
Second.
There's a second by Alderman Maladra. The floor is open for discussion. Comments and or questions from anyone from the dais first?
Mayor, we probably ought to explain that we're not going for the major 3% increase with this levy at this point. I think that has changed from the Committee of the Whole.
It has.
And I think maybe the public would like to know that. I mean, I think that should come from the chair.
I'd be happy to do so. The recommendation is, and this recommendation is actually based on, what's the formal word for it, I guess, conversations, surveys, inquiries with all of you, the city council. And it was recommended overwhelmingly that the city council pursue the option of a 0.44% increase in the levy, which represents exclusively new development in the community, pure and simple. The other options on board were, of course, the, I think, 3.5 and some other options as well. But this, I believe, reflects what we've done in the past, probably the most responsible, reasonable, and, in my opinion, most conservative approach considering the options available. Is there anything else? Yes, Alderman Maladra.
I think an important point is that the action that we took last time with regard to the levy when we put the estimate out there is just that.
That is.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. We put the estimate out there so that we don't let circumstances bar us from taking making any moves that we need to make. So this is more considered approach. Just round two.
Alderman Dantino, would you like to add anything or comment, just so I don't forget about you? Yes.
Was there a combination of the total levy then at that 0.44 or whatever increase? I don't think there's quite 40, but...
Yeah, it just seems like it. There's approximately 9 or so additional levy requests on the agenda, and Alderman Dantino's question was this part and parcel to the overall 0.44 recommendation and the gross amount.
After that first ordinance, the rest of those are SSAs. And the SSAs are specifically either what the Homeowners Association has asked for or for what it takes to maintain the retention ponds and infrastructure in each individual subdivision.
Are those pretty much flat from last year as well, then?
Those are all flat except for Fisher Farms, which is SSA 16. And that dollar figure was based on the Homeowners Association budget and recommendation to us.
It did, actually. That was based on a recommendation from the Fisher Farms Homeowners Association via Director of Community Development Dick Unch, via Mary McKittrick for presentation of the ordinance.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I think it should probably be noted that any sums or percentages noted tonight do not apply to any specific homeowner.
No.
And any specific property, residential or commercial or industrial, it may depend on whether it was reassessed this year or not.
Sure.
One has to be a little careful of applying this to one's own home budget.
Yeah, plus when you consider the EAV.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes, and the numbers, of course, the EAV will change as
right.
various
Absolutely.
People protest their assessment.
Anyone from the audience wishing to comment on item 11A or the recommendation thereto? Yes, sir. Come on up, Ron. You got to join us at the podium, big guy.
I've been busy at other places, so I haven't had a chance to come over and see you guys here on Monday nights. But I'm interested, so 0.44, what does that relate to in terms of last year's budget?
There is a gross dollar amount included in the staff.
What did we spend last year? What is the growth?
You're looking at a dollar amount.
A dollar amount. What is the dollar increase or decrease from last year? What did 0.44 relate to?
If the EAV does not change from what we know right now, which we know that it will, because there are appeals being filed by homeowners and businesses and industries, so we know that the EAV will go down. But if it were not to go down, we're talking about a difference of about $19,000, just under $20,000 total. For a $15 million budget.
Okay. That's a very small. That's
dollar per person.
It sounds to me like nice work.
And
I
that
just
it,
haven't followed this whole issue
perfect
here.
Way to say it, yeah. Nice
and
work.
That is only so that we can capture the new construction amount. If we don't do that, then we lose that amount forever. So that's what that's for.
So District 304 looks at a $320,000 house. You know, that's a design center. And you say, here's what the increase is going to be for a typical $320,000 house. So I don't know if you guys use that as a design center like they do or not, but what does that mean for a typical $320,000 assessed house?
We do use similar.
I think
$20.
I think
$20.
Yeah. Yeah. A $300,000 house, it's a $28 hit.
Okay. Per year.
Per year.
Yeah. End of discussion. Thank you very much.
Ron, just for the record, can we have your address again? I know you tend not to sleep in the same place twice because of security risks.
1600 Fargo.
Mr. Dantino, forgive me?
I didn't hear the answer to his question.
Approximately $20 additional for a $300,000 home in the city of Geneva, if in fact the rate remains at 0.44 based on the numbers we're presenting today. Now it's better. Yeah. Anyone else? We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Gene Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item 11A passes unanimously, noting that Mr. Cummings and Ms. Flanagan are absent. Item 11B is to recommend ordinance number 2012-47 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number one, which is downtown Geneva, in the amount of $177,000.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Maladra makes the second. Questions or comments regarding the ever-talked-about SSA number one? This, of course, is all to change the wording on the stop pedestrian and crosswalk signage. Right?
This is not a four-way stop.
This is not a four-way stop. Anything, Alderman D'Antino?
I'm good.
Mr. Clerk, kindly take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item 11B passes unanimously with Alderman Cummings and Flanagan absent. Item 11C, approve ordinance number 2012-48 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number four in the amount of $11,950. This is the SSA in beautiful Randall Square.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion by Marks, who's agreed to pick up most of it, and seconded by, was it Kilberg? Questions or comments? Alderman D'Antino, anything?
I'm good, but I'm glad Alderman Marks is paying for that.
Yeah. You should see his outfit tonight.
I'm just passing it on to Alderman Cummings. He's not here.
Anyone from the audience? From the dais? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item 11C passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Item 11D is to approve ordinance number 2012-49 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number 5 in the amount of $7,750 located in the iconic Williamsburg subdivision.
So move.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Maladra makes the second. Any questions or comments from the audience? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Motion passes 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Item 11E is to approve ordinance number 2012-50 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for the special service area number 7 in the Blackberry subdivision in the amount of $2,750. Motion. With enthusiasm by Maladra and seconded by Alderman Kilberg. Questions or comments from the audience? Mr. Clerk, take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item E passes 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Item 11F is to approve ordinance number 2012-51 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number 9 in the amount of $3,000 located in the Geneva Knolls subdivision just off of Eastside Drive and Division.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Brown, seconded by Singer. Any questions or comments from the audience? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item F passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Item G is to approve ordinance number 2012-52 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number 11, located in Eagle Brook, in the amount of $53,000 even.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Marks, seconded by Alderman Singer. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph D'Antino?
Ralph D'Antino, aye.
Item G passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. For our friends in Fisher Farms, approve ordinance number 2012-53 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number 16 in the amount of $154,000,000. No, $154,000. Right, Dick?
So move.
Motion by Alderman Sarah.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Marks. Questions or comments? And it should be noted, and with, of course, kudos to Mr. Unsch, who works directly with the Homeowners Association, this request, while an increase, is requested by the homeowners to address some issues. So, Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Gilbert.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg. Aye. Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Al Fantino.
Aye.
Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. We are on to item I. Approve ordinance number 2012-54 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number 18 in the amount of $1,460 in the Wildwood.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Alderman Marks. Questions or comments from the audience or from the dais? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Al Fantino.
Al Fantino, aye.
8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Successfully passes item I. Item J is approval of ordinance number 2012-55 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number 23 in the amount of $1,060 for Sunset Meadows subdivision.
Seconded. We're so moved.
Alderman Kilburn made the motion. Alderman Brown made the second.
He tried to second it, too.
Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilburn.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Buck Dantino.
Buck Dantino, aye.
The motion passes 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Our final consideration this evening, item K. Approve ordinance number 2012-56 for the levy and assessment of 2012 taxes for special service area number 26 in the amount of $7,100 in the West Haven residential area.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Singer and Alderman Marks. The motion and the second, respectfully. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Don Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Item K passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Before moving on to 12A, I just want to acknowledge the hard work of Finance Manager Tom Dahl, Mary McKittrick, all the department heads for putting together these important ordinances for our consideration tonight. Well done. Thank you very much. Item 12A, folks, is the recommend ordinance number 2012-43, ratifying staff approval of Delnor Community Hospital PUD update number 12.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Marks makes the second. Director of Community Development Dick Unsch is present tonight if there are any questions. This, of course, is for the floating casino in the pond out there.
I thought this was for a dock.
There right okay. Now.
Yeah, how's it look, Ralph?
Funny.
Anything for Mr. Unsch? If not?
Mr. Brown? Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
They mentioned the improvement of the entrance to the emergency ward. Indeed, there's a seems to be a superfluous stop sign to begin towards the emergency. Are they redoing the road work there to eliminate one stop sign on the way to emergency?
You're talking about like north of
the
area?
Yes, north entrance.
Well, that whole area will be undergoing quite a bit of change. That parking lot that's located to the north of the building is being reconfigured. Charlie Clotier is here from Cadence, and he can get into the details if you like.
Well, I'm not interested in the details, but I do consider that as an area that could use some. You know, now that their business has increased out there a lot, and there's a lot more traffic from the north than I suspect they originally planned when the layout was designed.
Well, and part of the overall scheme that's at work here is really the presence of that north entrance is being enhanced, the idea of drawing more people to that north part of the building coming and going to the hospital complex. Oh,
thank you. So will we at some point approve anything to this, or is this basically it? There will be layouts and things that we have to look at?
At this point, all of these items, these two items that are before you tonight, are covered within the Delnor Plan Unit Development as items that are covered under staff review. That is, their expansions to existing buildings and site improvements like parking lots go through a full staff review, and this really just ratifies the PUD amendment for recreation.
I don't have a problem as long as you remember that I think the traffic flow could be improved possibly when okay. you review it. Thank you.
Alderman Singer.
Yes, Dick. We've approved 11 projects at this point in time. This is now the 13th we are approving.
12 and 13, yes.
Are they projecting any additional projects at this point in time? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there are a number of plans at this point. Part of the reason that we have this procedure where there's a staff role to play in reviewing the plans is that hospitals, by their very nature, tend to build and improve incrementally over time. And with the transfer of Delnor now into the Cadence family, what we see now is a long array of projects beyond these two that are taking place within the hospital proper and also on other satellite buildings in the complex there to repurpose space, expand space, and really there's sort of a Cadence approach that's being applied to the Delnor campus, and Charlie might expand on that, but that's basically it.
The reason I ask you that question is my constituents get rather upset when they see all these projects going on out there at the Delnor facility, in as much as that they have concerns about traffic congestions and what have you. And I'm sure the people at Delnor have been working with your department in a heartward way to certainly see to these issues that they don't become too
well
concerning.
Yeah, I certainly understand those concerns. We have within the Delnor Plan Unit Development, we have a schedule that really walks through a series of obligations and requirements that are placed upon Delnor in terms of traffic control as they reach various thresholds in the evolution of the campus out there. One of the main ones that we've been watching very closely, and we received the study that was done in this regard, has to do with traffic on Kesslinger Road, and specifically mm-hmm. a traffic signal at Fisher Drive, which we know will come, there'll be a need for that at some point. Cadence performed that traffic study. It was reviewed by our city staff. And at this point, the traffic warrants are not such that they trip the requirement for a traffic signal at that location. And this is a requirement that's built in the PUD to make sure that it gets addressed at the appropriate time. Warrants haven't been and aren't met at this point, so that signal will not be installed as of yet. But we do anticipate that some point in the future it will. That signal creates the traffic gaps, without getting into a lot of traffic engineering here, creates gaps in the traffic flow on Kesslinger then that would help relieve some of the problems we're seeing at Delnor Drive and Kesslinger to the east of there.
I don't know if you recall, but it was a number of years ago that they had projected the possibility of developing a motel on the corner. And is that one of the future projects that Delnor has still in mind to engage in?
To my knowledge, that concept was under the Delnor banner.
Yes.
And I have not heard of that idea being expressed by Cadence.
So
yeah, Charlie's saying no on that.
So you're saying that is not one of your future concerns at this point in time, or it's just altogether?
At this point in time, no.
But there's a possibility that might occur.
To be honest with you, this is the first that I've heard about that.
Okay. Well, you keep me abreast of that, will you please?
I will. I know some more about it. I've only been over at Dallin for since the merger.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Maybe
thank you,
we
Mr.
shouldn't
Rush.
Have told him.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Anyone else? Alderman Maladra?
I'll ask a question piggybacking off of what Ron said. So do we have any kind of idea of the total scope of what Delnor could become? Or is it just totally open-ended, or do we have some idea of?
Well, there are parameters built into the plan unit development. And clearly, you know, there's utility infrastructure, there's traffic, there's signalization. There are a number of elements that come into play. And any major new facility or new building trips the formal plan commission public hearing and review process.
Right.
And then the council would be involved. So what you're seeing here with these projects are either expansions of existing buildings or reconfiguring of on-site improvements.
Didn't answer my
well,
question.
Well, I'm trying to okay. get there isn't a, to my knowledge, there is not a plan that says this is where we want to be in 20 years.
When we grow up.
Right. There is not a plan of that type that I'm aware of.
But there is a master plan.
Charlie, come on up, big guy. Right. Yeah. Welcome. I know we're kind of steering away from the intended purpose of the motion, but
I'm sorry, I was listening to this.
If you could give us an hour and a half presentation on the future of Cadence, that'd be...
You know,
that's why I'm here.
We sit here and we plan. We have an idea what we want to be 5, 10 years, whatever. We just went through an exercise where we updated ours. I'm curious what yours is.
And Charlie, sure. If you could, just for the benefit of everyone watching, your name and your title and spell your last name for us.
Charlie Cloutier, Cloutier. I'm a project manager with Cadence, and I'm in charge of construction over at Delmar.
Awesome.
We do have a master plan. That was one of the first things we did after the merger, and we have shared that with Dick's group.
But he didn't want to answer me.
But I've been careful with Dick on the master plan because master plans are, in our experience, are typically good for about a year until everything changes. And so you publish a master plan, and then people go 2 years from now, say, what are you guys doing? It's just the nature of the hospital business. Things change so quickly. But, yes, we do have a master plan. For example, we know if we need to expand the emergency department, we know where we would like to do that. Inpatient beds, we know where we would like to expand there. So we definitely have a master plan.
So someday I'd like to learn about that. Not tonight.
I would be happy to share that with you guys. On the caveat that
I understand.
Thank you. Anyone else for Mr. Cloutier?
Well, no, I have a question for Dick.
Oh. Charlie, thank you very much.
With the relocation of the entrance to the north side of the building now, and increased traffic at the north end, landing on Randall Road, has the county been involved in taking a look at what might happen to the increase in traffic at the Randall Road and Kesslinger Road intersection and the bottleneck that they already have? I just have they considered that there may be even more traffic than there is currently?
The county has been involved every step of the way that would be required by our formal review processes. The Delnor Plan Unit Development plan, the parameters for the review of roadway improvements and traffic signalization, and there are elements of that plan that have been implemented over the last several years. But that plan is really flowing out of the work we did with Delnor and the county a while back. So,
well, there's a lot of traffic southbound on Randall Road and traffic jams almost all the way up to that first stoplight. So,
well, there were requirements that called for new left turn signalization into Delnor Drive from eastbound to northbound. There was a new right turn lane installed a couple of years back for eastbound traffic heading southbound on Randall. So this has been very carefully looked at by KDOT.
All right. They have tremendous number of backups, but it doesn't affect me very much. So thank you very much.
Mayor Burns, I have a question.
Yes, sir. Alderman Dantino.
Yeah, this might be for north side of the hospital, and I think I see that there's going to be some revised parking. Can somebody give me a quick synopsis of how that is? Because the north entrance parking lot is full all the time. So I don't know how they could squeeze any more cars in there if that was the main entrance of the hospital.
I believe if I heard the question correct, Mr. Dantino, you would like a brief summary about the future of additional parking on the north end of the hospital because you feel that that parking currently is always full.
That is correct.
And if you're going to be steering additional clientele and customers, as it were, to the north end, how do you anticipate to handle the traffic, or excuse me, the parking demand?
As part of the project, we are moving the ring road, shifting it north. And that's going to give us the ability to add 15 additional spaces onto the north end. We have other options should the need arise. And I guess the best way I can answer that question is we've contracted with V3 to perform a parking study on campus and make sure we're looking at all this stuff. We don't think we have a parking problem on campus. We think we have a problem with where people park. And people, I mean employees. So we're looking.
We've heard that before, by the way. Not about you.
So we're looking at how to handle that. We're going to use these projects kind of as a catalyst to enforce a new parking policy.
Does that satisfy your inquiry, Alderman Dantino?
I didn't hear. What street were they rerouting?
The Ring Road.
Okay, the Ring Road. Okay.
They're going to push that further north in order to afford 15 more spots. 15, would they be open spots or handicap accessible spots? Or
open spots.
Open spots. Anything else from anyone? We have a motion and a second on item 12A. Mr. Clerk, kindly take the roll call.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. Item 12B is to recommend ordinance number 2012-44, ratifying staff approval of Delnor Community Hospital PUD update number 13, which is to remove the Ring Road and push it into St. Charles.
Good idea.
Is that right, Charlie?
Correct. So move.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown, second by Alderman Marks. Any questions or comments for either Mr. Unsh or our new best friend, Charlie? Mr. Clerk, take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Don Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 absent. We're going to jump to new business. Is there any new business from any member of the audience before I ask the council for any? Look, you're like ready to bolt out of here, Ron.
I am. I'm trying to get some questions about those dorms.
Oh, don't even. Hey, listen, I'm a fan just for the inheritance purposes. Oh, that'll be on TV. That's good. That's good. From the dais?
Paid for that one.
From the audience, anyone? Alderman Antino, anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Closed session on the as amended by Alderman Maladra for the purchase or sale of real property and for a collective bargaining discussion. We need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
And motion was it Brown, seconded by Marks?
Yes.
A roll call vote is in order. There will be no action taken following our discussion behind those doors. Roll call, Mr. Clerk.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
And Alderman Dantino, we will dial you in as we gather.
Oh, give us a minute to stretch.
That'll be great. I'll be waiting for the call.
Okay, thanks.